The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Visit resethastudy.com to learn more about their work.
Have you ever thought,
I'll never make it. Go on without me. It's so close, yet so far. There's no end in sight.
Yep, we've all been there before. Sometimes things get overwhelming, and it feels like the race will never end. Burnout sets in, and it becomes harder to keep going. But somehow, some way, we persevere. We push ahead. We keep moving forward. And eventually, we cross that finish line. Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and welcome to the final episode of Season 4 of The Pain Pod. Congratulations, you've made it to episode 8. You've braved the past, learned about the history of pain management, discovered new and existing resources, and even traveled to alternate realities. It's no secret that chronic pain can be debilitating, disabling, and isolating. It can feel like a marathon that never ends. But life is made up of small milestones or goals that can keep pushing us forward onto the next thing. And the choice by so many with chronic pain to continue each day working towards these milestones, even with pain, is inspiring.
I finally have gotten to a place where I can handle it, and it has been a wonderful thing.
That's why we end the season by discussing what continues to drive advancements within pain management and what keeps those with pain moving forward.
I think the dream of curing chronic pain has never gone away.
Marcia Meldrum, an associate researcher professor in the Center for Social Medicine at the Semmel Institute at UCLA and our honorary Pain Pod historian, rounds out our season by discussing some of the things that continue to drive advancements within pain management today.
Going back in time a little bit, in 1929, a committee was set up. It was originally part of National Academy of Sciences, and then later it became part of the National Institutes of Health. It was known originally as the Drug Addiction Committee. I think that was it. And it's now known as the Committee on Problems of Drug Dependence. But the central goal of this committee has been to find a non-addictive pain reliever. And the idea, which was not a bad idea initially, was if you took the morphine molecule and you modified it chemically in various ways, you would create a new molecule, a new drug, which would be able to address the pain without creating the potential for addiction.
As you may recall, many pain relievers that were becoming available during this time were highly effective, but also highly addictive.
A lot of drugs that we're familiar with today, Dilaudid, for example, essentially come out of this program, which, as I mentioned, is still going on. As far as I know, they're still trying to find that. And numerous other avenues have been tried. There was, a few years ago, some excitement about some kind of toxin that they found in some kind of sea life. There's extensive work being done on the nervous system, the mechanisms by which pain sensation is produced, where it's produced, what neurotransmitters are involved, and different compounds have been proposed to dampen certain neurotransmitters and thereby reduce pain sensation. Yes, the holy grail is still to eliminate chronic pain, to be able to give someone a shot and their pain goes away, and that's the end of the story.
That's it. That's the end of our episode. Or is it? The holy grail might be to eliminate chronic pain, and in a way, it's hopeful to know that science is working towards this goal. But the reality is that chronic pain still exists for many people. So, although it's nice to know that maybe we will have a cure someday, what do we do until then? How do we continue, even with pain? There's honestly no simple answer. I wish I could say, if you do A, B, C, and D, you will be able to manage your pain on a day-to-day basis effectively. But chronic pain is so personal, and what works for one person may not work for you. But something that can help is sharing the milestones, the goals, and the progress you have made. Having a community of supportive individuals who share what keeps them moving forward while dealing with pain can spark something within yourself and motivate you to keep continuing on.
I'm able to do so much more now than I was before. I used to not even be able to stand out of my wheelchair. Now I can stand with one crutch for 20, 30 minutes, even an hour if it comes to it.
This is Aiden Sullivan.
I'm Aiden. I'm 18 years old. I have chronic pain that started as a CRPS diagnosis, but later turned into other medical complications such as tibial slope deformity, nerve damage, and I've been dealing with chronic pain for the last 8 years.
Aiden is the younger brother of Michaela Sullivan, our guest and pediatric pain patient from episode 3. Aiden has been dealing with chronic pain for the last 8 years, and by sharing his story, he hopes he can provide hope to someone who may be going through a similar experience.
It started when I was about 10 years old. I had had a snowboarding accident, just went face down on the ice, very last run of the day, and I just couldn't get up. I was in a lot of pain, so I had to be dragged by a ski patrol to the little doctor's room that they had. We were in New Hampshire at the time, and you know, the pain was bad, but we just wanted to get home that day because we were scheduled to go back home. So we drove home, and about 3 hours later when we got back home, I couldn't get out of the back seat. I was just in too much pain to slide out and get inside the house. So after driving back from New Hampshire, we got back in the car and drove to the emergency room. We were there for about 16 hours, I think. The diagnosis that I first came back with was a bone contusion, and they said, expect to be walking again in 3 weeks. We're 8 years later, and obviously that hasn't quite happened yet.
Aiden would spend the next 8 years of his life in and out of hospitals and doctor's offices, trying to understand what was causing the pain.
Weeks after that had happened, my left foot turned purple and it went cold. I lost sensation in my left foot, and I started getting hypersensitivity in my left knee. We went back to the hospital, and I was diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome, which is a neurological condition which essentially turns all signals of sensation into pain signals. So for the first 9 months almost, we just really didn't know what to do. The hospitals had us follow was just intense physical therapy, intense desensitization. The idea was that because it's a neurological condition, there's no real cure for it. You just have to learn to live with it and push through and adapt to it.
Deal and adapt. This is something that pain patients, especially those with complex regional pain syndrome, hear often.
But about 9 months later, after pushing through PT, I was just getting worse and worse and worse. So we were starting to question if it really was complex regional pain syndrome, because everything that they said should work was just making me worse. It was my physical therapist who first really took a look at my leg and the structure of it, and he started to suspect that there was something else going on. So we had like two or three physical therapists, my pain doctor, all take looks. And essentially what they thought was that my tibia and fibula had broken apart at the top. And so every time I took a step, they were pressing against my nerves. So for about 9 months in physical therapy, I was just grinding my nerves into a paste, and the doctors missed it. So that was pretty tough.
Aiden's pain journey began at such a young age. It's easy to think that children are resilient and can bounce back from injury or pain quickly. But what happens when something exacerbates the injury or prolongs the healing process? We know that jumping into a race too fast can negatively affect a person's physical and mental stamina. So why should a person, let alone a child, be expected to bounce back quickly from sustained injury and pain? Will this not have physical and mental repercussions? We hear more about Aiden's journey with pain and what keeps him moving forward after this word from our sponsor.
The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Visit resethastudy.com to learn more about their work.
little things that just make me feel better about me.
This is Mary Garfield, and she heads up clinical operations at Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Mary recognizes that daily goal setting gives her the motivation she needs to move through each day.
For me, I try to focus every day on small accomplishments, small goals. And what I do is I just lay this out every day. I have a to-do list. I get through the things I have to get done, and then I always make time for me.
Pain can come on suddenly, without warning, making it difficult to navigate. Mary reflects on ways she has navigated sudden changes within her own life.
Changes for me, it's more, you know, family and friends that help me through. A few years back, I lost a brother, you know, and huge life change for me. And it was my family, my friends, my colleagues, the support that I got from everyone in my life. It helped, you know, and just someone that's there to listen to you.
And to those who may be struggling to find a way forward and are unsure of asking for help, Mary shares this.
Sometimes it's hard for people to reach out because there's always that fear of rejection. What is it? Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the goals you don't take, shots you don't take. So something like that, right? You don't know if there's somebody that's willing to help or assist or give advice if you don't ask.
So as the world begins to reopen, I asked Mary, what are you looking forward to in the near future?
Little things that just make me feel better about me.
Hi, my name is Patrick. As someone living with hemophilia and arthritis in my joints, I know firsthand how difficult and debilitating chronic pain can be. I also know the challenges that come with trying to find relief, which is why I'm excited to share with you the Reset HA study from Tremo. Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people living with pain. Tremo's Reset HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. The study's evaluating an oral, non-opioid, investigational drug designed to be taken once a day to see if it may potentially help relieve joint pain and improve physical function in people with hemophilic arthropathy. You may be eligible to participate in this clinical research study if you are between the ages of 12 and 75, have been diagnosed with hemophilia A or B, have chronic pain in one or more joints, and do not take opioid medication more than 4 days a week. If you are interested in learning more about taking part in Tremo's Reset HA study, visit resethastudy.com. That's resethastudy.com to find a study location near you. Reset the way you manage your pain. Visit resethastudy.com today.
Come on, you've got this. Just keep going, you're almost there. Look how far you've come. We believe in you.
Welcome back to the Pain Pod, where we continue hearing from Aiden Sullivan, pediatric pain patient, about the hurdles and milestones that kept him moving forward on his journey with chronic pain.
I don't know where I would be if I didn't have music.
When we face difficult situations for long periods, it can feel all-consuming, like there's no end. When we get to this point, it can be difficult to find purpose and meaning in moving forward. But sometimes things come into our lives that can change our outlook and give us strength to continue. Aiden shares some of the difficulties he faced due to the preconceived notions of others.
There were a lot of times when I felt the doctors just didn't believe me. And it is somewhat difficult being the second complex medical case in a family because doctors tend to have some sense of disbelief about it, that it could happen so severely, so complexly to two members of the same family.
Aiden's sister has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, also EDS or POTS. Both are complex conditions that can contribute to pain.
I remember very vividly one day, I was probably 7 or 8 months after my initial injury. I was in the hospital when my tibia and fibula would disconnect and it would just shut down. The pain would be too much. I would have what looked like seizures. I was in the hospital after having one of those, and I had another one while in the hospital that the nurses witnessed. A few minutes after it had ended, a doctor came in, and even though the nurses told them what had happened, he didn't believe me, started berating me. Basically, Slay was doing it for attention because Michaela had come through years before with her complex medical case. He told me I was faking it for my 5 minutes in the spotlight. Didn't examine me, didn't take a look, didn't listen to the nurses who had witnessed me have my, we called them pain seizures. And that was really hard because, you know, you go to a hospital, you speak with doctors, you expect them to help you. Instead, they tell you it's all in your head.
We hear many stories about how preconceived notions and biases affect how a person is treated for pain. When support systems fail us and others do not believe that pain is an issue, the road to recovery, or even just feeling better, seems so much longer. That's why it's important to find outlets, people, or things that motivate us to keep going.
The biggest thing by far has been music. Before I had my accident, I was a multi-sport athlete. I played hockey, football, baseball, lacrosse, I surfed, I sailed. Basically every sport that kids my age could do, I was taking part in. So when I suddenly had this injury and couldn't do any of that anymore, I was very depressed for a while because I just had nothing to fill up my days. What I once spent at practice, I would now spend lying in bed in pain. My grandparents had bought me an electric guitar like 2 years before that I played on and off but never really took up. When I started, you know, down this path of being bedbound and in pain, I just needed something to help distract myself. So that's when I started really getting into music and learning guitar. And I've kept that up now. I've started a band. We play shows around Providence and all that stuff. And it's been a good distraction for me.
You've just been listening to Never Coming Home, Aiden's band. You can listen to their music on Spotify or wherever you stream. When it comes to pain, tracking milestones, no matter how small they may seem, can provide a person with what they need to keep going. Aiden shares where he's at in his journey with chronic pain.
Hoping to get down to one crutch pretty soon. I've been working hard in physical therapy pretty much nonstop for the last 8 years. It's been very painful, but there's really no other option. You just gotta keep working through it. I'm able to do so much more now than I was before. I used to not even be able to stand out of my wheelchair. Now I can stand with one crutch for 20, 30 minutes, even an hour if it comes to it.
Donna Sullivan, mother to our guests Michaela and Aiden, chimed in with this final motivation.
I have high hopes for both of them, for all three of my kids. I have another daughter as well. Just looking forward to what they're going to do. They've definitely had a unique childhood. I think their perspective on a lot of things is different because of what they've been through. But they have a lot to contribute to the world, and I just want them to be happy.
So, what keeps you moving forward?
Golf.
Getting married this June.
Of course, friends, family, and, you know, my dog, and these sorts of things. But my passion for this work.
Telling stories of people in similar situations.
There's all these other things that you'll get to have.
You need to find something that's going to feed your soul, to keep you busy, to help you move forward.
Before we close out, I want to thank all of our guests for sharing their stories and expertise this season. And I want to thank you. Yes, you. For listening in, because sometimes life with chronic pain can feel like a marathon that never ends. But hopefully, by learning from the past, finding the proper support, being open to new and emerging therapies, and sharing stories and resources, we can collectively move forward even with chronic pain. It can be a long road, but maybe it's not about the destination. Maybe it's about the milestones we hit, the growth we see, and the people we meet along the way that make up the journey. So wherever you're at, I believe in you. You've got this. And keep going. The Pain Pod is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest. Produced by Keith Corneluck. Edited by Jose Miguel Baez. Artwork by Ryan Gielen and Christina Newhard. Post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, and Avra Friedman. And executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Tremo's Reset HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. And you can learn more about it by visiting resethastudy.com. And as always, if you like this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share the Pain Pod. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and this has been the Pain Pod.